Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds.
Yeah, this is your hustling Mohawk Magazine Network Roman labor correspondent Willie Terry. In this segment, you will hear part four of my report from the Black and Puerto Rican Legislative Caucus weekend on a workshop entitled Revolution or Reform. This workshop was facilitated by State Assembly Charles Barron. Revolution or Reform, Part 4.
Yeah. What's the solution?
Revolution!
This was a great, great man. Mary Baraka, known as Nimrod Jones in the 60s. The Black Arts Movement, he revolutionized plays and poetry, and it was a whole lot. He was one of the leaders of the 1972, you'll need to look this up if you haven't, there was a Black political convention in 1972 in Gary, Indiana. 10,000 Black people came from all over the country, from conservatives to liberals to revolutionaries, nationalists, communists, socialists, and had a convention in Gary, Indiana. Shortly after that, the amount of elected officials went from 2,000 to 8,000 because they had a convention. The problem was that most of the Blacks that filled those positions were neoliberal civil rights types. And the revolutionaries said, nah, y'all got that. And that's why we got what we have today. But some of us, Bobby Seale ran for mayor of Oakland. He was the co-founder of the Black Panther Party. Elaine Brown ran for the city council. And that's why I continued what they did. And we won the city council seat in New York City. And my wife was a state assemblyman member. Then we switched. They thought they had us. I was term limited. After 12 years, she was still in the state assembly. She ran for my seat, and I ran for her seat, so we're still rolling. Now I just want to get a little break here and hear from my man J. Cole.
Yes.
I just want to be free. All I want to do is take the chains off. J. Cole a big hand clap. We did that on David Letterman. Now this was a great man, Adam Clayton Powell. Give Adam Clayton Powell a big hand clap. And I want you to pay attention to the introduction he was on Like It Is with Gil Noble. Give Gil Noble a big hand clap. Let's roll it. Say people of color, and also that's a term some used back then. Gil Noble was a good friend of mine, and I've been on the show many times, but we never had a program like It Is. And the thing that they replaced it now, once again, they gave it some bourgeois stuff.
Today is controlled by black people and colored people. Out of the 3 billion people in the world today, 2,500,000,000 are colored. And these colored people are saying, don't talk to us about a free world, and don't talk to us about following your leadership as long as you've got our colored people in Cambridge, Maryland, not able to buy a cup of coffee in a cheap little lunch counter.
Adam Clayton Powell Jr.
That's Gil Noble. Give Gil Noble a big hand clap.
In his 26-year career in Congress, a stormy, controversial career, he put through more legislation than any other congressman. And at the same time, he was pastor of this, the Abyssinia Baptist Church.
So Adam Clayton Powell passed more legislation than any congressperson in the history of America. Give Adam a big hand. Adam Clayton Powell was a champion of black power. He said it even before Stokely, said it in 67. Powell delivered a commencement address at Howard University to break down black power. Even Martin Luther King was a supporter of black power. He didn't like the slogan because they were dealing with white people and he said he was gonna count them out. But it happened when Stokely said it, it shot across the world. But we have to continue to struggle because guess what? When we said black power, we did the black. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. We did African names and African culture, reclaimed our culture, but we didn't do the power. We talked to black and we got black, but we didn't get no power. We have to get the power. This is another great, great, great woman, Fannie Lou Hamer. Give her a big hand clap. Fannie Lou Hamer was fighting for reform and she later turned to a radical and said, look, I tried to reform. She had the Freedom Farms where she owned land, worker cooperatives, Ujamaa, socialism. Fannie Lou Hamer got poor people in the South homes, property, food with her farms. But this was her testimony, and it was so powerful. In 1964, when she was trying to get the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party credentialized within the Democratic Party, and they said no. She made her speech. They were so fearful of her that President Johnson called a press conference out of nowhere to say nothing, just to take away from Fannie Lou.
Mr. Chairman, and to the Credentials Committee, it was the 31st of August in 1962 that 18 of us traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse in Indianola to try to register to become first-class citizens. We was met in Indianola by policemen.
The president, Lyndon Johnson, he's not afraid of Martin Luther King's testimony. He's afraid of Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony. And so he decides that the country should not see her testify live.
Johnson is in the White House, and he convened an impromptu press conference.
We'll return to this scene in Atlantic City, but now we switch to the White House and NBC's Robert Gorelsky.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
On this day, 9 months ago,
he did it knowing that they would break away, thinking he might announce who his choice of vice president was going to be. Instead, he gets up there and he announces, get this, he announces that it's 9 months to the day since Governor Connally, who was there, was shot along with President Kennedy. So he announced a 9-month anniversary. Everybody's scratching their heads. And then he leaves. By that time, Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony was over.
Yeah.
However, it backfired on Johnson because it became a story that she had been taken off television and in the news that night, and for days afterwards, they replayed her testimony.
Even when they try to go against him, there is a God for those who believe. Next, this sister here, Ella Baker. Tariq Washington has said, stand up, Tariq, give her a good hand. He hit me to a lot of stuff about Ella Baker and how great he was. By the way, sitting right next to him is my son, Jawanza Barron. And he was telling me a lot about how Ella Baker, you know, took on King and them and organized with the young people and said, no, we're going to go another way. Listen to this speech by this sister. She was a civil rights activist, but check her speech out. She's in Puerto Rico, by the way.
Brothers and sisters in the struggle for human dignity and freedom, I am here to represent the struggle that has gone on for 300 or more years, a struggle to be recognized as citizens in a country in which we were born. I have had about 40 or 50 years of struggle ever since a little boy on the streets of Norfolk called me a nigger. I struck him back, and then I had to learn. I had to learn that hitting back with my fist one individual was not enough. It takes organization. It takes dedication. It takes the willingness to stand by and do what has to be done when it has to be done. A nice gathering like today is not enough. You have to go back and reach out to your neighbors who don't speak to you. And you have to reach out to your friends who think they are making it good, and get them to understand that they, as well as you and I, cannot be free in America or anywhere else where there is capitalism and imperialism.
Give her a big hand clap. Ella Baker. They don't let you talk about that part. They want you to talk about civil rights and all of that. But she just said she's against imperialism and capitalism. Why not teach us about that too?
Revolution or Reform, Part 4.